Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and we are here with
Nicholas Rodriguez,
who is playing
Captain Von Trapp in The Sound of Music
at Kennedy Center, Tuesday, June 13th through Sunday, July 16th. Nicholas, thanks so much for coming in.
Hey, man, good to be here.
Good to see you again, I guess we should say. You were just in here for Carousel, right?
Yeah, another Rodgers and Hammerstein classic.
That was down at Arena Stage.
Yeah.
Yeah. So now, what's it been like transitioning? You're like all Rodgers and Hammerstein.
Hey, man, there's worse things to be. I think this is my, of the canon, this is the seventh Rodgers and Hammerstein show I've done. So
which other ones did you do?
Oh, gosh. Oklahoma at Arena Stage. I've done Cinderella. I've done an adaptation of Carmen Jones, South Pacific, The King and I, and now Sound of Music.
Man, you've hit them all.
Well, working on it, yeah.
And I mean, we just named like seven legendary musicals, but this one might be the cream of the crop in terms of the most famous songs of all of them. I mean, the songbook in this one is so deep. Do you have a favorite one you get to go out there and do every night?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, Edelweiss is just breaks my heart every night. It's such a gorgeous, simple little song. And it was actually the last song that Rodgers and Hammerstein wrote together as a writing team. So that one has a special place in my heart of the ones that I get to do. And I'm also a fan of just standing in the wings, watching Maria and the kids do the goat herd song.
Oh, yeah.
Yodelehi, 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 who song. It's just so fun because you get to see kids being kids and they're just having a blast with it. So
I didn't know we would get Nicholas Rodriguez doing a little yodel during here.
I can't believe it either.
No, that was pretty good. But it was cool. It was like a spoken version of it.
Spoken.
You didn't go all out. It was just like yodel-a, yodel-a.
No, it's the morning after.
Yeah. I love it. All right. Well, before we dive in, because we can go into all the songs, I'm sure. But if our listeners were under a rock, we got to give them the basic plot summary. I mean, who doesn't know this? Come on.
It's so funny. I get asked to tell people and you're like, really? You don't know The Sound of Music? But it's based on a true story, which a lot of people don't know that. You know, it's about the Maria Rainer, who marries, is about to go into the convent and become a nun, and instead she becomes a nanny to this family, a widower and his seven children, Captain Von Trapp and his seven children in Austria. He's a captain in the Austrian Navy, right around the time of the Nazi occupation, 1938. So he's faced with this choice to stay and assimilate to this political regime that he doesn't believe in, or to flee and fight for what's right and their morality. And Through turn of events, they fall in love, and the captain and his seven children and his new wife, Maria, escape out of Austria.
And I love the escape, too, how they kind of set them up and they sneak out the back door during the show. I love it.
Yeah.
But explain how sort of that backdrop adds more depth to this musical than maybe a lot of, you know, you think of a lot of the more singing, show-tuny songs, but explain how, you know, there's a deep social commentary.
Oh, there is. And especially, you know, we're doing the stage version, which is slightly different than the movie. The movie, they adapted it and took a lot of that political leaning out of the film.
Why do you think that was?
I don't know. I'm curious about it. I wonder if it's just because of the time and they were trying to make a more sing-songy, happy film.
Because it was at 65, right?
Yeah.
If it had arrived maybe in like 67 even, it might have been different. You know, it was still, Hollywood was still kind of on the line there. And they weren't sure to take chances a lot.
It's one of the things that attracts me to it now. You know, I Jack O'Brien and Molly Smith, these great directors that I've worked with, they said, why are we doing the play now? And the fact that we're doing this, you know, the idea of standing up to a government that you might necessarily agree with all of the trims and trappings, you know, is very hard to do. It's much easier to stand in a room and assimilate with whoever's speaking. You know, it takes a lot more courage to stand up and do what you think is right. So it's really exciting, and it's polarizing for the audience too. It's really great to watch them feel it, you know.
Oh, there you go. Another reason to go in and see it. Well, you mentioned the movie. When did you see the movie?
You know, I can't even, back in the day, in the 70s and early 80s when I grew up, like, you didn't have DVR, VHS, or, you know, you couldn't stream it. So movies, if you didn't see it in the theater, it came on like once a year and the family got together and watched it. And I remember watching The Sound of Music with my family, or The Ten Commandments, The Wizard of Oz.
It's a Wonderful Life. There was only a couple you'd see.
Exactly. Yeah. So, yeah, you watched them when they came on every year. And then once the role came about, when they contacted me to take over, I was a little in shock. I was like, I'm not old enough to play Captain Von Trapp.
And then I don't look like Christopher Plummer.
I was like, what? And you know what? It's because we were so young when we saw it. He seemed old, you know? So come to find out, he was only 35 when he made the film, and I turned 40 the week I started. So
there you go.
I was
so
like,
you're
okay,
older,
so
that's gotta blow your mind.
I guess I am old enough. But in my mind, he was, you know. But then once I started rehearsal, I clicked on a YouTube thing because I just wanted to see Christopher Plummer, and I watched him do the scene where he plays Edelweiss in the living room with the kids, and then I had to stop because I thought, you know what, I'm going to get too much in my head if I if I rewatch this, you know, let me let it have the memory and then create my own way through it. So,
because you don't want to be like you're just imitating Christopher Plummer. You wanted to make it your own.
And who could? I mean, you know, it's one of those things that's so iconic that you just have to acknowledge it and honor it and then find your own way, you know.
Same with Julie Andrews. You're not going to top that, so you just got to make it your own. Who is our Maria in the show?
Oh, she's amazing. Her name is Charlotte Maltby.
Related to another Maltby, right?
Yeah. Her father was Richard Maltby, who was the original director of Annie, created Ain't Misbehavin', many, many other things, writer, director, lyricist. So she comes from this like theater lineage. She's a theater animal and a talented person, regardless of who her father is, and just a fun, bright, quirky human being, and we're just having a blast together.
Is this true? I think this might be her first national tour.
It's definitely her first national tour. Yeah, she graduated from the University of Michigan a couple years ago, and she's had some great professional successes since. But this is her first time leading a company on a big Broadway national tour. So
hitting the road.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
See, everybody, come out. I mean, this, you're getting in on the ground floor of what's going to be a promising career.
Yeah, it's amazing.
What's the biggest joy of being able to work with her every night?
She's so fresh. You know, she inspires me to just be on my toes and to listen to what I'm going to get every night. She's not a one-trick pony, you know, so it's that fun, unbridled energy that you never know what's going to come at you, but yet you feel completely safe, you know, kind of like Maria. You know, she just says what she's got to say, you know.
That's true.
So
it's a good point.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, you mentioned that your show differs from the movie in terms of it's not as afraid to go into the political subjects. Does it differ in any other ways?
Yes.
Like, if some of our listeners have never seen it on stage.
Absolutely. You know, so we actually have some of the content from the original Broadway production that wasn't in the movie. The characters of Max and Elsa. Max is played by Merwin Ford, who's done 15 Broadway shows, I think, and Terry Hansen plays Elsa. Those characters are beefed up, and there's two songs that we do together that aren't included in the film, so that they are included in the stage show. All of the favorite hits that you're looking for are in there, but they might be in a different order, you know, or like take place in a different locale than they do in the movie. You know, a lot of people are surprised that, spoiler alert, Edelweiss happens at the end of our play as opposed to early on.
So things are moving around.
Yeah, yeah.
So the raindrops are on the kittens and the whiskers on the roses. Oh, interesting. All right, we'll have to check that out. No, I love that song. God, there's so many. There's really so many.
Yeah.
Remind our listeners all of the other ones. We got Edelweiss. We got
Do Re Mi. You have Climb Every Mountain, which brings down the house, sung by my dear friend Melody Betts.
The Hills Are Alive.
The Hills Are Alive. The title song, you get to hear that at least three times.
They're alive three times. Yes,
they're so alive that we have to sing it again.
And again. My favorite things. There's so many. We're leaving a ton out. I know we are.
Are we? Yeah.
There's a million more. The kids. We got to talk about the kids.
Oh,
the
yeah.
Von Trapp children.
Von Trapplings, as we call them.
Von Trapplings?
Yeah.
Awesome. Who plays the Von Trapplings? You don't have to name them all, but where do we gather? Just a bunch of child actors from the best of the best?
You know, they kind of scoured all over the country, so we got pretty lucky. I mean, they did calls in the West Coast, East Coast, and down in the South. So we have some that live in San Diego. We have some that live in Florida. We have bulk of them that come from New York, and they're just awesome. I'm truly blessed that we actually travel with nine of them because we have an understudy boy and an understudy girl. So they all kind of live in this, you know, they're all my kids, you know, whether they're on every night. And it's just awesome. I mean, they started about 2 weeks before me, so we truly do feel like a little family, and it's a lot of fun to be on the road with them. And they each travel with a parent or a guardian or something, so it's even an extended family too.
In addition to the parent or the guardian, how does that work on the road when you're a kid? Is there like a teacher or a tutor or something?
Yep. So we also travel with an amazing wrangler who's with them backstage and helps them with all their professional stuff. And then they also travel with a teacher. They all have different things. Some of them are homeschooled. Some of them, their teachers give them work. But state by state, they're required to do X number of hours of school every day. So, you know, those kids are going to school for 5 hours and then to rehearsals and doing the show, wake up, rinse, repeat, you know, so.
Are you ever surprised by their pipes, the sound that comes out of these little tanks?
They're great and they're fastidious and, you know, I just can't imagine your days when I roll in and I'm tired and I'm like, oh gosh, here we go. I'm like, well, these kids are just bouncing off the wall and, you know, so.
The beauty of being young.
I try to see. Yeah. Yeah.
We've talked a lot about the songs. What are we going to see visually? How is this presented?
Oh, the sets are stunning. Natasha Katz's lights blow me away. I mean, it's just big, grand, sweeping sets and lights. And the sound is impeccable. And one thing I love about this particular production, one thing Jack has done so beautiful, that there's no, like, the scene ends, blackout, the next scene, it all moves seamlessly. Okay. You're going to sit through it, and there's not going to be one blackout.
So there's transitions.
And it's just, it took my breath away the first time I watched it. So it's one of the things, how we move so seamlessly from the convent straight into this giant, you know, Austrian manor that they live in. So it's pretty impressive.
How do we, our listeners want to know, is it going to, do we, are we still going to get that majesty? Because, you know, in the movie, we get a helicopter shot swooping over the mountains. How do we do that on stage?
You know,
how do you create that feeling?
I hope so. You know, we have the big reveal of the Von Trapp house. I like to say, since it's my entrance, that I get entrance applause, but I have to deep down believe that they're applauding for the set and the lights, but it is kind of fun. I like to pretend that it's my entrance applause, but no, we know the truth. And then in the second act, when we're all of a sudden in the concert hall in the middle of this big escape, you know, there's an amazing reveal there that just, you feel the audience gasp every night. So just the grandeur that they're able to create, and to be at the Kennedy Center too, which has its own element of grandeur, you know?
Oh, absolutely. Is this your first time at the Kennedy Center?
This
personally?
Is my first time performing there. I've seen many things there, but yeah.
Wow. What's that going to be like?
I mean, it's going to be a dream come true. It's one of the great stages of the world. So it's just going to be an honor. I'm really, really looking forward to it. And so is our cast. Everybody, it's been the one thing that on the tour that everybody's like, 5 weeks in D.C. We're just over the moon. And to tell this story here, too.
It was always circled on the calendar. Five weeks in D.C.
Oh, yeah.
What's it going to be like standing there singing Edelweiss for the first time, looking out at the Kennedy Center? That's going to be goosebumps.
Oh, man, I'll probably lose it. To tell you the truth, I mean, it's already hard enough, you know, moment in the show anyway for me, just emotionally. But there's something about it. And I also learned to play the guitar for this production.
Really?
So,
you had never played it before?
No. Oh, well, wow. I take it back. When I did Mother Courage here at Arena with Kathleen Turner, Molly asked me to play the guitar. So I worked those two chords out, and I just went back and forth between those two chords.
You're like, oh, Kathleen Turner, Kathleen Turner, you got to get this right.
And but, you know, now I'm actually like fingering and playing a little bit more and mic'd, which I wasn't.
Yeah.
So it just all adds to that other element of fear, you know, what the captain must have been going through too as he's trying to get his family out and escape. But yeah, it's one of the things I'm most looking forward to, and to have so many friends here now and to have so many relationships that I've built over the years of coming here, to know that people are going to be coming out is just awesome. It's the biggest blessing.
Awesome. Who's directing this one?
Jack O'Brien.
Oh, okay.
Three-time Tony Award-winning Jack O'Brien.
I mean,
yeah,
there you
the
go.
The man. Yeah.
What have you learned, you know, picked up from working with him? Or what's his biggest strength, I guess?
Oh, gosh. Well, he has so many strengths, but I love that he is not afraid to go deep with this, you know, that he's not afraid to take something that we all know is light and frothy and find the darker, grittier, sexier edge to it, you know, just his choice in going younger with the casting, because he believes these people were young, vital people at the prime of their life when this thing happened, you know, so just giving us that permission to. And then he always says, in the second act, he says, hurry, the Nazis are coming. You know, there's no reason to just sit back and enjoy the beautiful sound of your voice. And like, no, we're on the brink of war here, people. We have to get up and go. You know,
that's how he coaches you in the second half of the show.
Yeah,
that's what
to
it
drive
is.
It forward.
It's a little, I guess, urgency there in the second half. Oh,
yeah.
That's cool.
Because I think that's what sometimes you can miss in these things is like, it just seems like a pastiche period piece. But meanwhile, you know, countries are getting invaded. Bombs are getting dropped, you know.
The Nazis are coming.
Yeah.
Tell us about yourself.
Well, I grew up in Austin, Texas, played sports my whole life. My dad was a football coach, and my mom was very supportive of my career, both of them. But I got into tennis and basketball and started doing musical theater in high school and just loved it and went to school. I studied at the University of Texas. I studied in Salzburg for a semester.
Well,
to tie into the sound
in,
of music.
Yeah.
I know.
Did you ever think you'd be doing Sound of Music?
Never in a million years did I think that this Mexican kid from Texas would be playing Sound of Music. It's just one of those things that you're just like, nope, that's like for a white guy, you know.
The oil fields are alive.
But luckily, you know, Jack O'Brien saw past that and he was like, so what? You're brown. Let's go.
That's awesome.
You know?
No, that's cool. Do you ever think back to the Salzburg experience when you're on stage? Does that actually inform the role?
All the time. I mean, it's kind of impossible not to, just because of just the landscape itself and the architecture and the places that we talk about in the play. I actually know where they are, so it's very helpful and fun.
See, it's authentic.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, I guess before we go, what's the final song? Why should they come out?
I mean, I think you should come out because it's a classic that you know and love, and you're going to see it in a way that you didn't necessarily know that you knew and loved it. You know, it's going to be like seeing an old friend and meeting again, even better.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, we appreciate you coming in.
Thanks, man.
Again, it's Sound of Music, June 13th through July 16th at the Kennedy Center. Get your tickets now. Nicholas Rodriguez, thanks for coming in.
Thanks, Jason.
So long, farewell, and auf Wiedersehen, goodbye.
Adieu.